This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
It's got grilled vegetables, sautéed onions and peppers with the rice and black beans. Oh, I just add a little cheese and put on some sour cream, and the salsa that they add to it is fantastic.
Oh, one of my favorites at Zazu's, Southwestern Grilled Chicken. Take that grilled chicken, some cherry tomatoes, a little bacon, red onions, lettuce, roasted red pepper aioli. Yummy.
Well, as you can tell, these regulars at Zazu's know what they like and can get it just like they like it. It's not expensive, and it's really good, healthy food. You never get a bad rap at Zazu's. Out of the ordinary, but not out of the way, in the Townside Shopping Center, Ivy Road.
Booster.
Go.
Retro.
Go.
Fido.
We go fly.
Guidance.
Guidance, go.
Surgeon.
Go fly.
Ecom.
We're go fly.
GNC.
We're go.
Bellevue.
Go.
Control.
Go fly.
Procedures.
Go.
Inco.
Go.
FAO.
We are go.
Network.
Go.
Recovery.
Go.
Capcom.
We're go fly.
Launch control, this is Houston. We are go for launch.
This is WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot.
Good afternoon, everybody. Good afternoon and happy Monday. I hope you had a great weekend. I hope it's a good week for you. Thanks for joining me. I'm Coy Barefoot. This is Charlottesville Right Now. It's where you go in the afternoons to find out what's really going on here in Charlottesville. It's local talk, local issues, local radio at its very best. Coming up in this hour, independent city council candidate Bob Fenwick, live in studio. Tomorrow on this program, we'll talk with Brian Wheeler of Charlottesville Tomorrow about the recently broken news that Charlottesville Tomorrow and Media General, vis-a-vis the Daily Progress, are going into business together. Coming up on Wednesday, we'll talk in depth about the very latest on mountaintop mining in Virginia. They are literally destroying the oldest mountains in the world. The beautiful Blue Ridge Mountains of Virginia, they're destroying them for a buck. Provost of the University of Virginia, Tim Garson, will be my guest on Thursday, live in studio, to share his latest thoughts and insights about health care reform in America. Bob Fenwick joins me live in studio. He is the independent city council and independent city council candidate for Charlottesville City Council. The election, of course, is in November of this year. Bob, welcome to the program. How are you doing?
Thank you, Coy.
How was your weekend?
Oh, it was great. Terrific. Yeah.
Good deal.
Yeah.
We have a whole lot we want to talk about. Water and dredging and growth and the Meadow Creek Parkway and a whole bunch of local politics issues. But let us start where we are wont to start on this program, and that's with a Bob Fenwick 101. Just a little bit about yourself and where you're from and how you ended up here.
Well, I came down here when my wife Victoria went to law school, and we stayed down here. So I've been down here, we've been down here almost 33 years, maybe almost 34, raised our boys down here.
You came from where? Where were you from?
From Northern Virginia, basically. I was in the Army, so it was, you know, Panama, Vietnam, places like that, Maryland.
I didn't know you served in Vietnam.
Oh, yeah,
wow,
absolutely.
Thanks for your service. That's really something.
Well, I appreciate it. That's where some of my engineering background came from, actually.
Yeah, because you are in the service and you're an engineer by trade.
Oh, I was a Corps of Engineers, yes. And before I went into service, I got a B.S. in physics from Georgetown University. And I had undergraduate and graduate study from the George Washington School of Engineering in Washington, D.C. I passed the EIT, which you have to have as a prerequisite to get in your PE, which is your professional engineer certificate, but I didn't have the time to do the seven-year apprenticeship, which they required. I don't know if it's still 7 years now or not, but it was back then. So I became a general contractor. And I've been a general contractor since then, almost 33 years as a businessman in Charlottesville. I've done other things as well. I had a TV show, actually, Homework with Bob Fenwick, on PBS and PAX for about 6 years. And that was very interesting. And that really was the genesis of the website I have, homeworkwithbobfenwick.com. And I just do little video clips, almost like Bob Vila.
Yeah.
And
showing people how to do things.
Absolutely.
And how not to do things.
and trying to undo things people did over the years.
That
was one thing. But one interesting thing about that, Coy, is I found a newspaper. They used to lay down old newspapers under linoleum when linoleum first came out.
Really?
And there, it was the probably 2x8 boards or 2x6 floorboards. In order to keep the linoleum from cracking, they would lay newspapers under it.
As part of the underlayment.
As part of the underlayment. And we pulled out an old newspaper, and one of them, by chance, was back about 1918, 1919. And it had an article in it about Edgar Allan Poe and his room on the UVA lawn. And there was a big dust-up about if they had tagged the correct room as Edgar Allan Poe's room. And that was very interesting. Those are the kinds of things that we would find when we would tear apart these old houses.
Oh, good stuff.
But one thing in there as well, where the term whose came from. Some people say it's a freshwater fish from Minnesota.
Yeah, yeah.
I think they've been having a little adult beverage action before they said that. But they used to call the rooms on the lawn hoodoos. And the people who lived in the hoodoos...
I never heard that.
Were
wow.
Who's. Yeah. And that's in the newspaper. That's pretty interesting.
We're talking with Bob Fenwick. He's a candidate for Charlottesville City Council. So where's the politics come in? How does
the politics started in 2007, actually, when I'm a big softball player. I love the game. And we found out that there were some changes coming from McIntyre Park. And it was just out of the blue. We had never been told. And to make a long story short, they signed the ground lease in December of 2007, and everybody was complaining because they had been left out of this decision. And that really basically started it.
And you're, of course, referencing the city's signing over part of the land in McIntyre Park to the YMCA to build a new YMCA there.
Yes, that was
it. And the original plan was they would get rid of all the ball fields, the softball fields, the baseball fields, and create... soccer fields.
Yeah, or as it said in their need study, Ultimate Frisbee. They ranked Ultimate Frisbee above softball.
Even though softball's been in that park for
years. Yeah, softball goes back to the King and His Court. Some of the older people around here will know who the King and His Court are. But the game has a great history around here. Willie Mays actually played here when he was in the Army, I believe in the Old Lane High School or somewhere in that vicinity.
Huh.
So it had a great tradition. To this day, grandfathers play with sons, play with grandsons, or granddaughters. That's how far back it goes.
Softball in the city leagues in McIntyre Park.
Softball in the city. It has always been a big thing, not only in the city, but in Central Virginia. They used to have fast pitch softball for men and the big industrial businesses.
You think the
here.
Folks in City Hall really underestimated the degree to which this community was liked at softball at McIntyre Park?
Well, I don't think they had any idea what went on over there. When I started this, I put up on a website and I said, I'm going to send them a video of what goes on, and I'm going to include a MapQuest clip of where McIntyre Park softball fields are.
Yeah.
Now, somebody counseled me and said that's a bit provocative, so I didn't do that. But I of the five members on the council at that time, I had never seen one of them out at the softball fields. And even then I was an independent because I had pitched for both the Democrats and the Republicans when they had their annual Democrat-Republican softball game. One of the ladies on our committee said she had seen David Brown once. So that's, I don't think they had any idea.
Yeah. And, of course, they made efforts to try to remedy that situation as soon as they found out that there was such an uproar about getting rid of the softball field.
Well, they were giving us what's basically head fakes. To this day, on the city count, on the city master plan, the softball fields are gone. The large rectangular fields are still part of the plan as it stands today. And despite what anybody says, it's there for anybody to see. If you go to SaveMcIntyre.com, one of the first three things on that site is this master plan.
Yeah.
Now, with an election coming up, Coy, I would bet that's going to be changed for political purposes. But I would just, I'm equally sure that after the election is over, it's going to go back to the rectangular field and the softball fields will be gone.
We are talking with Bob Fenwick live in studio. He's an independent city council candidate for Charlottesville City Council. The election is in November. The one thing that bothers me about the YMCA, I love the idea of a YMCA in Charlottesville. To this moment, I've never understood why they just didn't put it over by the high school. Well, there's so much room over there, and there's so much parking, and it makes so much sense. But the one thing that bothers me most, I'm not against a YMCA in Charlottesville, great idea, but the one thing that does bother me is where they're going to put it. Then that whole part of McIntyre Park on that side of the railroad tracks, because folks should know the railroad tracks go right through the park, basically.
Right, right.
That side of the park is instantly going to become the YMCA campus. I mean,
yes.
It's just, you can look at the map and see the minute that's built, that whole park is just going to be seen as, you know, by default, that's part of the YMCA.
Right. Well, I'm glad you mentioned
that. And the YMCA folks know that.
Oh, absolutely. That's part of the problem. I'm sure there are little deals that have been cooked up that we don't know at this point. But, you know, it's like the issue is, what is the value of an open space park in Charlottesville? That's I've been trying to wrap my hands around that. And that goes for the Meadow Creek Parkway as well. You know, which is more important, a road or a park? Well, and we'll come back to the YMCA in just a second.
Sure,
but,
sure.
But the answer is both of them are important. But if you take a park to build a road, it better be something that you absolutely need, because you will never get that park back. So that was part of it, that there's these little deals cooked up. I'm certain of it. We don't know all the ins and outs. But, you know, we have worked probably harder than anybody else to try to find the YMCA a better place to be. They had a place available at PVCC, and for some reason they didn't want to go there.
Yeah.
I believe because McIntyre, the land, the real estate, is really the premier real estate in Central
Virginia. I'll tell you right now, if I was working for those YMCA folks, that's exactly where I'd want to be.
Yes.
You can't find a better spot.
No, it's on the bypass.
Oh, yeah. It's perfect.
Yeah, it's a beautiful location, beautiful land, great access to it from the highway. So it's just a beautiful spot.
Yeah. But what the community sacrifices to that private entity, you
right.
know, is really the larger question.
Well, yeah, that's exactly the larger question. And like I said, we have identified probably a half dozen other spots that we think are better. One of their main goals is to serve the underprivileged. And the younger underprivileged kids will not go to McIntyre Park. They will not come across town, even if you give them a bus. Teenagers will not get in the bus unless they're absolutely forced to. It's beneath them, you know. That's the way they are.
Yeah.
So there's places over by the Ix, the Frank Ix building. There's vacant lots sprinkled around town that are closer in town. And the puzzling thing is there's a commercial establishment, ACAC, that's right down in the middle of town. They will make it. Now, I don't understand why the YMCA, you know, feels that they have to go into the McIntyre Park, take the land virtually for free for $1 a year for 40 years, that's the only place they can go. I don't believe that for a second.
I always got the sense, and I could totally be wrong here, but I always got the sense that the YMCA folks didn't really want to set up downtown. You know, as much as they say they want to serve the underprivileged,
right.
They didn't really want to be in that neighborhood.
No. I mean, if they run a good ship, and the YMCA provides a terrific service to the community.
And this community needs that option,
because
there's folks who can't afford ACAC and there's folks who aren't associated with the university who would still love a nice place to go swim and work out.
Absolutely, absolutely. But to be out in the McIntyre Park is just not the right spot for them.
Yeah. We're talking with Bob Fenwick. He's an independent city council candidate. So to back up for a minute, where do you go from playing softball and realizing they want to take away your softball fields to being a candidate for city council?
Well, I mean, we were all complaining about it, and I was really surprised that, I believed in the slogans that the city puts out, you know, open government, transparent government, the whole city a park, the whole, you know, all that stuff, a green city. I believed all that, and it turns out they were meaningless slogans, basically, in this case. We would sit around, and I would say, how can this happen? And everybody was really upset about this, and I would say, you know, somebody has got to run for office and make this an issue. And whenever I said that, people would never make eye contact. They just look, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
They just and then all of a sudden I saw them all looking at me, and I, you know, I'm, you know, I don't need this at this point in my life.
Right, right.
But the bottom line was nobody else would do it. And I knew going to city council, talking in front of them, and I have done this in front of the county board of supervisors as well, was really pointless. The only way to make a change was to see what the people of Charlottesville thought about this. And that was the start of the website. And to date, we have probably 72,000 hits on it.
And what is it again? Remind people.
It's SaveMcIntyre.com. This is the these are the signs you've been seeing pop up all over town. I wore a T-shirt with that on it for a while. I felt like a sandwich board. But so that was the genesis of this, that nobody else wanted to do it. It had to be done. And then I started finding out other things that really convinced me that the city of Charlottesville was not a transparent government.
So you think Charlottesville is not only ready for an independent member of city council, somebody who's not part of the Democratic Party, but it's necessary that we absolutely should do this now for the community.
Absolutely. I'm hearing over and over again a 5-0 monopoly on city council is just not healthy for the city. And the decisions that are coming out of it, I think, bear that out. So that's what the people are telling me. You know, go. I like your stand on the issues. I like the fact you don't give a lot of political jibber-jabber. You say what you think, and 5-0 is just not healthy.
So just for the record here, you're against the idea of giving this free land to the YMCA and handing that over to the McIntyre Park.
Yes.
We can find a better spot for it. And as far as, what about the Meadow Creek Parkway?
Well, let me say, I would put it the other way, Coy. I'm for the YMCA in a better location.
Okay.
And I'm for preserving McIntyre Park as it has been handed down to us. Now, let me get to the park in just a second, but when we received the land, it was given to us in perpetuity by Paul Goodloe McIntyre, and it was to be used as a park and a playground, and the city accepted that gift. We didn't buy that land. It was given to us. They accepted that gift as a condition of the gift.
Yeah.
You know, they didn't say, we'll take the land, but we're not going to follow the...
We agreed to the legal framework within which the gift was given, that this must remain a park and a playground for the city to use.
Right. Now, to this point, there's a fire station, there's a rescue squad. I'm not talking about those things that are health and safety related. I'm talking about the park in general as an open space for other uses. So just to keep the park as it is, as it has been handed down to us, as best we can.
So you'd be opposed to the Meadow Creek Parkway then going through the park?
Well, I am opposed to it, yes, for that reason. But there's other reasons as well in the Meadow Creek Parkway. That's a 1950s idea. We've seen a city planning document that has it, I think, 1958. So they've been wanting to do this for a long time. Now, back then, and I think you're the one who had on your show that radio clip of the dust-up when they were going to re-brick the mall.
Yeah, yeah.
They were trying to make sure that downtown Charlottesville remained vibrant.
Yeah.
And after World War II and Korean War, the way to do that, and it was sort of a leftover from the railroad days, they wanted highways straight into the city. That's where the commerce was. So that was behind this plan. Now, today's transportation planning tells you a better way to do it is to take bypasses, to go around the city with all your heavy traffic. If you don't want to go to that city, you are around it. You don't go through it. And you can come off little feeder roads all the way around the city to get wherever you want. So to me, it is an obsolete idea. It will never do what they want it to do. In fact, there is a structure on the east end of the downtown mall right now that will do that has done 20 to 30 times over what that parkway would ever do, and that's called the Pavilion. Every Friday and most Saturdays and Sundays and sometimes Wednesdays and Thursdays, Brown was there. Jackson Brown was there a couple weeks ago.
I was there. Yeah. It was packed.
Absolutely. And they got there somehow. They didn't need the parkway. And then they go to the restaurants down there. They go to the stores. And that's what is keeping
downtown. That's what blows me away, Bob, is if you stand on that mall on a Friday night after work and look at the sea of people or on Friday or Saturday night, how could you stand up and say you need the Meadow Creek Parkway to save downtown,
right,
which has been the argument we've heard since the 60s?
Well, I know. You know, they get these disingenuous arguments. I heard one from the Chamber of Commerce that said what we need is what the Meadow Creek Parkway will do is bring more cars into town and ease the parking. Now, how those two work, I still haven't figured out to this day. Bring more cars downtown and ease the parking.
Yeah. Let's go to the phones. Lloyd is on the line. Lloyd, you're on with Bob Fenwick. You go right ahead, sir.
I'd just like to remind Mr. Fenwick that the existing 250 bypass that he just mentioned came out of the McIntyre Park that Mr. Goodlow gave us. And what would we do now if that bypass wasn't there? We've added the fire station. They all public service. The existing 250 bypass is public service. I'm not sure, but what Mr. Goodlow didn't intend it for some of those uses. And I'd like to point out to him, too, that Mr. Goodlow was a longtime board member of the YMCA.
Oh, there's
thank
a
you.
Nice time. Thank you, Lloyd.
Listen to his response.
Appreciate it. Thank you, Lloyd. Well, there's an argument for the Meadow Creek Parkway that the 250 bypass went through the park, and that's a great road.
Well, I mean, that's done. That's, you know, that's there. We're not really concerned about that, and I really don't want to. There's really no argument. It's there. We're used to it. Everybody
built in the 1950s. Jim Bowen was the city manager, a city planner.
And yeah, and
Bowen's Folly, they called it.
Yes, and yes, and it was built in stages, just like this Meadow Creek Parkway was going to be built in stages. But I have heard the argument that Paul Goodlow McIntyre would want this, would want that. He'd want the highway. He'd want the buildings. Paul Goodlow McIntyre's history was in the concrete canyons of Chicago and New York. He came to Charlottesville to get away from all that. And his language was very specific in the gift. It was to be used as a park and a playground. I mean, he could have said park and a playground in a highway if he wanted to, or a park and a playground and a few buildings. He was a very smart man in the middle of the Depression.
Yeah. We're talking with Bob Fenwick, an independent candidate for Charlottesville City Council. We're talking live in studio with Bob Fenwick. He's an independent candidate for Charlottesville City Council. And the phone lines are open at 977-1070. Let's go to Bill, waiting very patiently on line one. Bill, you're on with Bob. Go right ahead.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Just got put my 3 cents in here.
Absolutely. Go for it.
First, on the YMCA, no, I don't want that in the park. Personally, as far as I can see over the past years, it really hasn't been self-sufficient or supported in the community overall, and I don't, you know, it's come and gone as far as I can see as an entity, and I don't think that we need to, as a city taxpayer, I live in the city,
yeah.
I don't feel like I need to finance nice place from the Y and deteriorate that western side of the park. On the parkway, I have a little different take on it. I'm not really opposed to it, and it is in my backyard. I can hear the bulldozers running in the morning when I walk out to my car, where they're cutting through over there off Melbourne.
Yeah.
And I don't really have an opposition to that coming in, because I think from having traveled down Rye Road for many years, and I used to live over Stonehenge in the county, and also, you know, I have a lot of friends. I go to church on Park Street.
Sure.
And of course, the city has created the traffic calming off obstacle course on Park Street. I think that little piece of road right there isn't going to take away that much from the play area of the park, from what I can see. And what they may clean up over there in a leaf dump and everything may pick up some more park area for the park. So that's where I stand on that.
There you go.
But mostly for the folks who live on Park Street and Rye Road that just, you know, they get that traffic going by them all the time, especially at park.
Yeah.
And then lastly, on water, whatever it takes, you know.
What'd you say?
For water, you're going to go to water next?
Yeah, that's where we're going next.
That's 3 cents. So.
There you go. Good call. Thank you, Bill. Appreciate it.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Thanks.
Great call. We look forward to hearing from Bill again. Let's go to Margo online, too. Hey, Margo, you're on with Bob Fenwick. Go right ahead.
Hi. How are you doing?
Great. Happy Monday.
Great. I want to say I am originally from Chicago area, and Chicago has plenty of parks, Lincoln Park, Jackson Park, Grant Park, which is where Obama gave his what was it? Not speech, but...
That was the 91, right?
No, it was just recently.
Oh, yeah, I was just talking about during the election. Yeah, that park down by the water, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's probably what gave McIntyre the inspiration.
Yeah.
And I do know that even Richard Daley would not have put a road through any of the parks because the Chicago people would have really yelled.
They like their parks.
Pardon?
Yeah, they like their parks.
They like their parks.
Yeah, absolutely. Great call, Margo. Thank you.
Okay.
Appreciate it. Dan Bluestone was in here one time, historical architect, architectural historian with the University of Virginia, and he's involved with the Save McIntyre group.
Yeah.
And he had this drawing that a historian had done of Central Park in New York. And the drawing was done assuming that every project that had been proposed to be put into Central Park had gotten approved. This is what Central Park would have looked like, and it looked like the rest of the city with lawns.
Right.
It was jammed with stuff, and that's his whole point, that it's normal for people to want to put things in a beautiful, successful park, which is all the more reason why you should say no.
Well,
because that's what keeps it beautiful and successful, is if you leave it alone and just let people enjoy the trees.
Right. I mean, it's there for a reason. And we have heard terms like it's underutilized. Well, you know, you don't go to a park because there are a lot of people there. You go to a park to get away from it all. And that's the nature. That's the beauty of a park. And there is a place for that.
Yeah.
And it always did puzzle me. In the city of Charlottesville, let me back up. In the city of New York, how they were able to keep Central Park with all that development, as much pressure as that should have been to develop Central Park. And here in Charlottesville, we have our equivalent of Central Park, and yet we might lose as much as 40% of it in the last 2 years. And that's it shocks me, basically.
We're talking with Bob Fenwick, an independent council candidate for Charlottesville City Council. Let's turn our attention to water, the reservoir, dredging. You and I have spoken recently, and I'll guarantee you, I think you're the first person in here to sit at this table in all these discussions about water and dredging. You're somebody who has actually dredged.
Oh, yeah.
You know what it's like to look at a big project as an engineer, as a former member of the Army Corps of Engineers, to actually dredge something.
Yes, but let me make sure. It wasn't as a big project. I was with the 3rd Civil Affairs Unit in Panama, and we would go out to the provinces, and what we had to do was provide them with potable water, and they would have little ponds that we'd have to clean out. So that's the background on water and dredging.
Yeah.
When I went to Vietnam, we did basically the same thing in a sort of civil affairs, even though I was with an infantry division. We did the same thing for the people that were around our area of operations. And they would we would build them ponds, and they would throw these little fish in there. And they looked like, I thought they were goldfish, and I believe they're carp. Somebody told me they were carp long after that. And those rascals would grow almost as big as the pond, and that's what we did. But as part of this dredging discussion that the community is having now, we basically don't have a lot of facts to make a decision on. And this is a huge monetary decision.
You're saying that not only as a political candidate, but as an engineer who looks at these kind of projects.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, an engineer can do anything. You know, an engineer can take us to the moon and bring us back. An engineer can clean up Love Canal. Engineers can do anything. They find a way to do it, and that's why they're important. So we can build a dam at Ragged Mountain. We can dredge at Rivanna. But the question is, at what cost? And not only the monetary cost, but what cost to the environment? Now, the Western Bypass was abandoned because the people out there didn't want that road coming through their property. The pipeline is going through Western Albemarle. Now, do you think for a minute they're going to stand still for that? I don't. That's one of the cost figures that nobody has thought about. We're looking at 10 years of litigation.
And when you say the pipeline, you mean the pipeline that would run from the existing South Fork of the Rivanna Reservoir to the proposed new, larger Ragged Mountain Reservoir,
yes,
which wouldn't work without that pipeline.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. So, I mean, the whole thing started out to to supply water to a major university in a small to medium Virginia city, we want to dam a creek. You know, to do that, you have to dam a river. And we have done that with Rivanna. We have dammed that river, and it's working well. The problem is we have never maintained it. I used to cross that bridge over the Rivanna Reservoir on a daily basis. Not once did I ever see a dredging barge, a dredging pump. I never even saw a guy with a shovel, you know, working the shoreline, anything. That is part of the infrastructure maintenance that every dam has to have. And I would like to remind all the listeners of all the issues that are, of all the outcomes that are on the table, every single one of them includes dredging, dredging at Ragged Mountain or dredging at Rivanna. So my position is start doing what you should have been doing 40 years ago on a very small basis. Start dredging Rivanna. It's a win-win situation. You will know what size motor to use, what size piping, where the sediment goes, whether it goes to the quarry up the hill or on an adjoining piece of property. We will start to understand what composition that sediment has, and that will help us manage the risk.
So you would support the city's efforts to put out an RFP immediately, they've been talking about this for so long, to put out a request for a proposal. Let's just hire some dredgers and get somebody in there right away.
Well, no.
Just
not,
see what we're dealing
not
with.
Not even that much. I mean, it could even be maintenance people from the city or from the RSWA. I'm talking a minuscule pilot program so we can start. And then after a year, get a bigger motor, all that. We don't have to go to all this big rigmarole. We just start. We stop wasting money. Start there, and that gives us a basis upon which to continue and to make decisions.
We're talking with Bob Fenwick. He's a candidate for Charlottesville City Council. Bob, what's your response to the people who say, well, you can dredge all you want for rowing and for recreation, but we shouldn't be dredging for water at South Fork. We should build this big new few hundred million dollar reservoir because you can dredge all you want down there in South Fork and you'll never get the water that this community needs in the future.
Well, I mean, that could or couldn't be, but my point is we don't know that for sure. We are at the very beginning of this process. This is a 50-year water plan. We don't have to decide this in the next year, next 3 years, the next 5 years. The water consumption rate is going down. It will continue to go down. Somebody says we have picked all the low-hanging fruit. The low-hanging fruit is growing all the time. We are as an example, the dehumidifier in people's houses, the room dehumidifiers, you can wring 3 or 4 gallons of clean water out of one room per day in our area. All that water right now is a nuisance. That can be flushing water.
I throw it on my backyard.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's great. I mean, most of it goes right down the drain. It's a nuisance.
Yeah.
But you can do that. You can water your garden, flush, wash your car. That water is so pure, it is purer than rainwater. If you kept that dehumidifier clean, you could drink it. That could be your drinking water. Rainwater will wash out pollen, dust, all that stuff out of the air. So it's these kinds of conservation measures
that you think we're really just starting to understand.
We are just at the very beginning. They have waterless toilets, and that's all I'm going to say about that.
We got one right down the hall.
Okay.
I was up at Monticello last week. I noticed the men's room in the brand new Monticello Visitor Center has those waterless urinals.
Yes.
It's amazing.
Yeah, it is. I don't know if I want to know how they work, but I mean, that's the kind of thing we are just at the beginning of.
And you think that the demand analysis, the study that was done a few years ago about how much water this community would need in 2050, you think that that's sort of screwed up because it doesn't take all of this into account.
Oh, absolutely. They didn't have low flush toilets then. They didn't have low float shower heads. They didn't have restrictions on watering athletic fields. None of that. But there's another side to that, too. It's the sediment buildup. I have a little clip on RivannaDam.com that shows the water coming over the Rivanna after Ernesto, which was 3 or 4 or 5 years ago. I forget. That water is remarkably clear. The conservation measures we are taking in the watershed above the dam are having a tremendous effect. They are lowering the rate of sedimentation behind that dam. And I don't think they've taken that into account either.
We are talking with Bob Fenwick. He's an independent city council candidate
for Charlottesville City Council. The phone lines are open. If you've got a question or you want to join the conversation, Richard on line one. Richard, you're on with Bob Fenwick. You go right ahead.
Bob, I want to applaud all of your good work, and I just wanted to add that the demand analysis that we have went up through 2001. That's the last of the Gannett Fleming update on the VHD demand analysis. Since then, we have taken golf courses, and we've taken reduced the car, took the car washes off. We reduced the demand of the community. At the same time, I see people saying, "Well, we have to dredge South Fork all at once. Put the dredges in." That's what I've heard. And I understand what you're saying is that we just have to dredge to keep ahead of the demand.
Yes.
I wonder if you could comment a bit on that.
That's a great question.
Yeah, absolutely. Just we will find a point at which we are taking out as much as goes in there. And when we find that point, if we want to take more out, we can do that. So, I mean, that's part of the problem. We don't have the information. We should get on it now.
Now, Bob, what's your response? Richard, thank you for the call. It's a great question. I appreciate you joining the conversation. We've got a line open for you at 977-1070. Bob, what are your thoughts about, well, we should go ahead and build this big new reservoir. This is an investment for the future. It's all about growth. We can't grow unless we have this water because, you know, that's lots of the local conspiracy theorists think this is about business, that this reservoir is, we're all publicly chipping in money to subsidize growth in Central Virginia, so the realtors and the builders can make some money.
Well, I believe that too. You know, it's we need. Well, first of all, we do need water for businesses and people. There's no question about that. But we have just gone through a tremendous boom time. Take a year and a half ago. Prior to that, those 4 years were as big a boom time as we will ever have around here, probably. Bigger than any I've been involved in, and I go back to the Carter Reagan years. So in that boom time, not only did we not run out of water, our consumption figures actually went down, and that's because we have other, as I mentioned, we have national standards, we have state standards, and everybody now is knowledgeable that this is a resource that we have to be careful of.
Yeah. What are your thoughts, though, on the urgency that we hear from some people like Tom Frederick and, you know, some of these people like, no, we can't dredge for water. We won't talk about dredging. We got to build this dam. We got to go. We got to make this thing happen.
Well, I mean, it's the money. We do not have to do that. We're not in that kind of position. And I was a little taken aback by this pledge that went around that some of the politicians and candidates signed. And they seemed to trip all over themselves to sign this pledge that they support the dam.
Yeah.
Now, one of the hallmarks of a good politician is how well he conserves tax money. And at this point, to commit, in this case it was the county, but there, that impacts the city, and that's what I'm concerned about. At this point, to commit the city taxpayers to an open-ended $100 million project that may not be needed.
At least $100 million.
Yeah, I've heard up to $500 million, yeah. I mean, just doesn't make sense. Now, I will compliment Rodney Thomas. Because he's standing against an awful lot of pressure in the county. He's the one that did not sign that pledge. And I take my hat off to a man who stands against special interests and thinks about his constituents.
Bob Fenwick is a candidate for Charlottesville City Council, an independent candidate, former member of the Army Corps of Engineers, a veteran of the United States Army, and a longtime contractor here in our community. Bob, thank you for joining us, and we'll see you again, I'm sure.
Thank you, Coy.
We're going to break here at the top of the hour for CBS News local news and weather. Tomorrow on the program, Brian Wheeler will join us live in studio. We'll continue our conversation about growth and development issues here in Central Virginia. We'll also talk about the breaking news that Charlottesville tomorrow is going to work with the Daily Progress to provide news stories for its newspaper. How about that?
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit SevillePodcast.com for more.